I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hell World. I am joined, as always, by Sarge.
Hello from the internet.
And the mysterious L.
Duke Nukem's back, beautiful babies.
He was practicing that beforehand, and I think you got there. The work paid off.
Yeah, well, sometimes I just, you know, you just need to give yourself a little bit of place to walk before you can run. But I mean, it was perfect. It was like Duke was right in the room with us.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have your camera on, so to me, it was Duke. You became Duke. It's like method acting. It really works, people.
Yeah. I mean, I've been really misogynist for the past week to lead up to this one. I just made sure to respect no women throughout the whole week.
You've been sitting on your throne and surrounded by girls dressed like Britney Spears.
Yeah, I've been doing nothing but kicking ass and chewing bubblegum and also running out of bubblegum.
Daniel Day-Lewis has nothing on your method acting. You just immersed yourself in Duke Nukem. It was incredible.
keep it light and breezy at the top of the show because, oh boy.
This is man alive are things wild in the world of QAnon. So before we dig into all that, let's hit the content warning.
The Adventures in Hell World podcast talks in depth about QAnon, which means we have to talk about all kinds of child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Child abuse, gotta love it.
I don't think we're going to get into that today, thankfully. I mean,
yeah, weirdly, maybe a week without talking about child abuse.
we're going to manage to dodge that bullet. However, all the other things that we're going to be dealing with are right on the nose when it comes to QAnon's absolutely worst and most horrible stuff. So it's pretty great. It's pretty magical. Let's just hit the news bump and get right into it.
From the digital headlines to the digital front lines, it's Q's in the news.
Actually, before we get started, I have breaking news. And by breaking news, I mean news that you guys already know about, but it's breaking for our listeners. So we love you, babies, and we love the ones out there that support us even more. We're not really your parents. We're allowed to say that we like some of you more than others. But the good news is not all is lost. For all of you beautiful babies that simply support us by listening but haven't yet visited our Patreon, because media opportunities continue to arise, allowing us to offer you tantalizing rewards for even more Patreon subscribers. So as some of you folks may have heard, Reno 911 is coming back, and they're going to be doing a movie that I swear to a higher power of your choosing that I would certainly not be watching, except it gives us a prime opportunity to get the boys back together for another binge-worthy cross Adventures in Hell World team-up episode. And it just so happens that we're also coming up on 69 Patreon subscribers, and we all know 69 is a very nice number. So, nice. Our proposal to you at the top of this week's headline news, because a shilling is news to you, because we usually save it for the back half of the podcast. Got him on a technicality. Is that, beautiful babies, if you could help us get to 69 Patreon subscribers by the end of the year.
Nice.
We'll go ahead and watch that there movie and give you a bonus episode for your troubles. So go ahead and help make our holiday extra nice. I'm Duke, and I'm here, and I want it.
Reno 911, the hunt for QAnon, and the poster has the QAnon booze cruise on it.
Yeah, I'm sure that where that boat goes one, it's going all, baby. So
I wonder if they're going to have the bell in the show. I wonder if they're going to. I wonder if Reno 911 had like an on-set QAnon expert who knew to put things in like that.
Yeah, how do you get that job? Could you be the QAnon consultant for Broken Lizard's upcoming QAnon movie?
Oh my god,
I should be. I mean, someone should be. And then that's the one thing that does kind of like almost quote unquote worry me about the movie is that I haven't heard a single person in my circle of people being like, "Hey, I was like in contact with the Reno 911 crew about QAnon and gave them a few pointers." Like, this thing could be like just totally weird and wacky and not really on the nose when it comes to QAnon. Like, who knows?
I'm sure.
I hope so. I hope they did. I would like for them to do so, but we'll see. We shall find out.
I hope that like literal Rod Watkins is in it. I want them to have cut Rod Watkins a check in just like a blistering moment of self unawareness. That would have been incredible.
Oh my God.
That would be the ultimate.
if at any moment there's a Rei Ayanami doll in this movie, I will lose my goddamn mind. It'll be 10 out of 10 perfect. I don't care what else happens. Like
we need to start an online petition to get Mike as the QAnon consultant for Super Troopers 3 : oh shit, it's QAnon. It's coming to you 2 years from now.
My fees are reasonable. Basically, I just want a credit. That's all. I don't want to be able to say I did it. That's fine.
Never tell anyone you'll work for exposure.
Yeah,
I just did, but I'm gonna go back on my word. Now I want money. Now I want cash.
Yeah, get it together.
Yeah, there we go.
But so yes, that is our fundraising drive, our end of the year promotion hype pitch to you, the viewer, that this movie, which hopefully will not be an absolute train wreck, will be something we'll review should we get to 69 quote unquote parentheses nice patrons.
It has to just be so bad, right? Like Reno 911 is a show from like 15 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, I mean they came back. They came back once already, and
yeah, but if it was for like Paramount Plus, that doesn't count. I can't remember what network it was on. I seem to remember they came back for.
Was
some
it on like CISO? Was it on the or what was the dumb like Quibi? Was it on Quibi? I feel like it was Quibi.
Oh man, if it was on Quibi, then that's on them. That's on them for me not knowing. Oh, because Quibi came out of like the womb and then like immediately just singed off in its crib, which is why we have the content warning at the top. Yeah, of the show. I was going to get us there.
You ruined it. It was
callbacks. That's what I'm here for. Hail to the king. Okay. All right, we've done our fluffy pillow as long as we could. God, I wish we could use that to segue to talking about Mike Lindell, but he has to wait.
He just wasted it.
He has to wait. Up. Well, yeah, we have to come. I mean, that's how good I am at them. I tee up ones that I don't even use. It's so good.
I don't even want that transition. It's trash.
Unfortunately, we have to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse. But it's hard to like. I mean, I'm furious, so it's hard for me to seamlessly segue into that one.
Speaking of child abuse, Kyle Rittenhouse got declared innocent of murdering two people because, I don't know, I guess self-defense. I had heard that the judge did not allow evidence that little boy Kyle had involvement with the Proud Boys.
Right, that's correct. His involvement with the Proud Boys was not allowed at trial. The video of him like punching a girl in the head was not allowed in the trial. Pretty much the way the trial got presented to the jury was this contextless thing where a young boy heroically wanted to protect a auto parts store from crazy miscreants and ne'er-do-wells.
And brought a gun with him, an AR-15, like you do.
Yeah, and brought an AR-15 with him for the purpose of defending that auto parts store from crime.
I have to say I am disallowing this evidence because it is very incriminating.
Exactly.
I saw a headline: the judge sentenced Kyle Rittenhouse to come give him a big old hug, and. Yeah. I was just like, God, it's okay. But why is QAnon upset about Kyle?
So to finish what I was saying there is just that what we ended up getting, or what ended up being presented to the jury, was this context-free series of events where a kid with a gun was quote unquote defending something, some guy started throwing haymakers at him. The kid killed that guy. Then more people came at him, and he killed one of them, and then he wounded another person. And according to Wisconsin state law, all of it's self-defense by the book, so he gets away with it, and America's fucked. Is pretty much, like, that is what, like, the people that were not QAnon, like, this wasn't like the Jack Posobiec's and the right-wing shitheads who were, like, just all about Kyle Rittenhouse all day, every day. This was, like, the people who were actually talking about the legal parameters of the case. And between the fact that the prosecution was a bunch of dum-dums and the situation, and the judge set things up the way they were, Kyle was probably going to walk the whole time, and that's what happened. So then our boy Kyle, after having gotten away with murder in the eyes of most people, he goes on Tucker Carlson and does an interview where he says bad things in the eyes of poor old QAnon. Kyle says he supports Black Lives Matter. And he's not this crazy racist monster who was running around looking to kill people in the name of white supremacy, which made a lot of his fans very sad. but the big thing that he said that got QAnon's Jimmys all rustled was Kyle himself and his current lawyers both decided to aggressively take shots at Lynn Wood for being a dumb piece of shit and a moron. And Kyle actually just flat out called him a grifter who could have bailed Kyle out on bail while he was awaiting his trial for his murder charges. But Lynn Wood wasn't, like, aggressively just, like, shaking that money tree, trying to get the money to free Kyle, but instead was just using Kyle's imprisonment as a way to fundraise for himself. And Kyle and Kyle's family felt that Lynn Wood was in no way, shape, or form working in Kyle's best interest. He was only working to fatten Lynn Wood's pockets. And
is surprising. I am surprised.
I mean, Lynn Wood, a vowed grifter, shockingly trying to use Kyle Rittenhouse as a way to build the Lynn Wood brand.
And then Mr. Rittenhouse produced his collection of Donald Trump silver coins and said that he believed that they might not be worth anything.
oh god, if only he had done that. If only Kyle Rittenhouse came out hard against Trump coins, that would have been the greatest thing.
And then Mr. Rittenhouse signed a sworn affidavit saying that he believed unequivocally that JFK Jr. is dead.
Kyle, in his interview with Tucker Carlson, Rittenhouse did declare that beyond the whole grifting and leaving me to rot in a holding cell while awaiting trial, Kyle said that one of the other reasons why Lynn Wood got fired was because Lynn Wood believes in QAnon and election fraud, and Kyle Rittenhouse does not care about any of that shit and doesn't believe in it. So that... A lot of hackles started getting raised when Kyle Rittenhouse was like, guess what, QAnon? For all your fanboy worship of me, I don't buy into your bullshit, and I'm bigger than you. I'm bigger than Lynn Wood. I'm bigger than all this shit. I'm out of here. I'm gonna go down to Mar-a-Lago and do the thumbs up pose of Donald Trump the way you all wish you could. But I'm the big man on campus now, and I don't need idiots like Lynn Wood in my circle.
Oh my god, he's trying to appeal to regular Republicans?
Yes.
I mean, he's still pretty radicalized, but yeah, he's reaching across the aisle from the crazy Republicans to the less crazy Republicans.
Yeah, Kyle's decided that that's where his brand is, and what's really funny about it is that a lot of QAnon promoters are trying to be cool about this. They're trying to be okay with it. I'm seeing a lot of posts where people are like, hey, everybody, Kyle's got handlers now, and they're telling him what to say, and they're just but we all know deep in our hearts that Kyle is actually a racist who went to that that protest with the intent of murdering people and getting away with it because he's white and there's no white privilege, but whatever. It's really like that was the main thing that was reading all the people that are still supporting Kyle in QAnon, even though he's disavowed them and all the rest of it. It goes to show that the Kyle Rittenhouse in the trial, there were like two versions of him, like the what they wanted to present as the fake Kyle Rittenhouse and what they wanted the real Kyle Rittenhouse to be. Like for the jury and for America, QAnon wanted Kyle to just be a 17-year-old boy adrift in the world and all confused, and he was just going to that protest to try to do his best, and then shit just got wild, and oh no, I had to shoot my gun a few times. But the
partially right. Kyle definitely has handlers now. He is getting media training. I've seen him talk. That kid knows what to say and what not to say now. So, yeah.
On that front, absolutely. But like that, like the poor put upon boy at a protest defending himself, that's the fake image they want. The real Kyle Rittenhouse that they want to believe exists is that Kyle Rittenhouse is a sociopath who went to Kenosha to get into an incident with people and kill them and get away with it because he was savvy enough to know how to work the Wisconsin self-defense laws. Like, they want to believe that's the real him. And it's, that's probably not true. I think that he's a dum-dum and that he committed murder, but according to our legal system, not so much. So now, dealing with his new notoriety and fame, he's trying to go in the direction that people who've got money and he's paying are telling him are the best directions to go in. So I think
it's his best move. I don't like it, but yeah, he's making the right plays right now for him. It's disgusting, but and he's pissing off QAnon. So I can't believe I'm happy.
I want to know whose hand is on that wheel. I want to know what firm they hired to.
Oh yeah.
Like that's
they're good. They're
that seems good. Like some supervillain shit right there. That seems like some evil. The definition of like a TV style evil law firm. They're just like, yeah, we could shine this kid up real nice.
I bet anything that PR firm is fighting tooth and nail to make sure their name doesn't get out, so that like the Rittenhouse family have hired like a group that hired a group that hired a group that hired the PR firm. Like there's gonna be shell corporations on top of shell corporation. That is gonna be like a web that is impossible to unweave. But
President Newcomb, you asked too much of us. Just get it done. polish that turd.
Hail to the king.
So,
oh my god,
I can picture Duke Nukem being the head of some sort of terribly evil law firm.
That sounds very right. I think that should be the reboot. That should be Duke Nukem 3. You're not actually running around murdering people. You're actually just like...
It's like Phoenix Wright, but with Duke Nukem.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So this led to Lynn Wood freaking out and lashing out at everybody. And now Lynn Wood is in feuds with Marjorie Taylor Greene. He's in feuds with Sidney Powell, his old best friend. Now Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood are at each other's throats over this shit.
Mm. Trouble in Paradise.
Yeah, they posted a meme that was like the most ridiculous thing, where it was a picture of a knife and it was like, it's not the stab in the back that kills you, it's when you turn around and see who did it. And so Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell are now like two teenage girls who are really mad because one of them is dating the other one's crush, and all the hilarity and misery that entails. So that incident was all happening, and while Lynn Wood was like spinning out of control and screaming and yelling at everybody, this led to our boy Jordan Sather and all the guys who really don't like Lynn Wood taking more shots at him. And this led to a QAnon promoter named Savage Dog, who I think I talked about previously, who's a guy that his claim to fame before this was that he hated Negative 48, who we're going to be talking a lot about in a minute. And so Savage Dog decided to take his gaze off of Negative 48 and all of that stuff, and decided to focus it on the anti-Lynn Wood people, because for some odd reason, Savage Dog loves Lynn Wood. And if you don't like Lynn Wood, you're not really QAnon. And so last night, in an angry series of posts, Savage Dog attacked Jordan Sather. He attacked Utah. He attacked Pepe Lives Matter. And because Savage has brain worms that make him a QAnon monster and a terrible person, most of his attacks on these people were to call them gay or trans. That's his like stock attack is Jordan Sather's trans, IET is trans, Qtaw's a woman. If they're not women, they're all gay. Because apparently, again, being an edgelord that was like from, I don't know, 15 years ago, that's still the mental headspace these people are in.
Yeah, is that like a damaging insult in these spaces still? I know QAnon's weirdly obsessed with trans and outing trans people that are not trans, but...
It's something that exists in that world. I mean, Torba, the guy who runs Gab, he will himself post things about the global homo agenda, and repost people. This shit we were hearing back in the 90s about how the gay people can't make more gay people because they're gay, so they're converting your kids to gayism. Like, that level of gay panic bullshit.
Sounds right.
I'm pretty sure that the science doesn't check out on that, but even if it did, you know what? Good for them. Fucking take some of them. These kids suck.
Yes.
Make them into better people.
Yep.
Go find yourself.
Yeah. So, the one insult that was not transphobic or homophobic about these people was that he said that Jordan Sather has one nut. He called him One Nut Sather, which, going for a really weird
burn, dick, fucking burn,
yeah,
what?
Going for a weird dig that the last time I heard that was a thing that people were saying about Hitler. I mean, it was not something I expected. But
bro, what's not to understand? You have exactly half of the masculinity that you should get wrecked.
Yeah, your masculinity is directly tied to the number of testicles you have.
That insult's great because it's not even like you're half the man I am. It's like half the man that you have the potential to be. If only you had two nuts. I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed of insults.
That's why all these men are going to plastic surgeons and getting extra testicles.
Oh, I was about to say that you didn't do that. You just naturally have three testicles. We've always called you Sargy Three Balls. So
I want to go to the doctor and I'm just going to tell him to make me look like I have a Crown Royale bag stuffed with marbles. Just show how masculine I am. That's what I wanted to look like at the end of the day.
I'm just imagining that. Like, I'm just imagining like these QAnon promoters just going to some convention and they're getting drunk and they're just yelling and screaming at each other. And then some guy just like rips his pants off and has what you just described. He has the Crown Royal bag full of jingle jangle. And everyone else is like, oh, he's the alpha. He is the greatest of us. Look at his horribly massive scrotum, just full of testicles. None of us could ever compare to this great man, and they all just start genuflecting and worshiping him. Old big scrotum Linwood.
Come on, it's 2021. There's no way that a bunch of QAnon people would be genuflecting and worshiping anyone.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, man, we've been really punchy today. It's expending a lot of energy. I'm very tired. I could use a nap. And you know, it would make my nap even better. A wonderful supportive pillow by the folks at My Pillow.
Yes, indeed.
Also, or as we refer to them on the show, Mind Pillow. And that is my smooth transition to us having to talk about Michael Lindell. A thing that I hate doing. I hate that I have to think about this guy for even a second, any amount of the time.
Yeah. So old Mikey Pillow, two pillows. Is running up on the deadline when he could submit his case, and I'm using this term real loosely, before the Supreme Court for overturning the election. Now, to get that in front of the Supreme Court, he needs states' attorney generals to sign on because he has no merit. So he needs multiple states to just be like, yeah, we back this.
Well, what he needs...
The states involved, specifically.
Right, well...
None of them are signing on.
Right, the big thing he needs is that the Supreme Court is... The Supreme Court has, quote-unquote, original jurisdiction over any dispute between two states.
Right.
So this, it's like, so this is one of those things, because people have been asking, how can Liddell bypass all the other levels of the legal system and go direct to the Supreme Court? And the answer is that the Supreme Court is supposed to hash out arguments, which whenever you deal with a state arguing with another state, it's almost always to do with water rights. That's almost always what it is. It's like there's a river running through states X, Y, and Z. They're getting mad at each other over who gets what water from that river. They go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court tries to hash it out. But this is what happened with the ridiculous Texas lawsuit, where Texas was like, hey, we don't like how Pennsylvania ran their election. That was bullshit. So, don't let them do that. And the Supreme Court rejected that out of hand. The only two guys that cared about it at all were Alito and Thomas. But even they said, look, we're just of the mindset that if a state brings an argument against another state before the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court is bound by duty to hear it out. We're not saying that we would have ruled in favor of Texas, because we fucking wouldn't have, but we would have liked to have heard it. And the other seven justices were like, no, this is dumb. Fuck you. We don't care. Texas's lawsuit is trash.
Well, so, Mike is claiming that the RNC is going behind his back and shutting him down now.
Oh yeah. Everything is a conspiracy against Mike Lindell, because Mike Lindell can never be wronged. He can only be wronged. And so he submitted this lawsuit. He basically had a lawyer fill out the paperwork for this lawsuit. And if you look at the top of it, it literally says, insert state name here. He doesn't have a state that's willing to take up the case, because no attorney general from any state wants to get laughed out of court with this bullshit. Nobody wants to attach their name to this. This is just saying that you want to captain the Titanic after it hit the iceberg. You want a helicopter to transport you to the captain's chair and then fly away, and then you can try to pilot this thing. This is an absolute stone cold loser. One of the main lawyers that deals with this bullshit, his Twitter handle is like @QuestAuthority. He saw the lawsuit at the end of one of his live streams, and his live stream literally ended because he couldn't stop laughing so hard. He said that he was forgetting how to breathe, given how stupid and ridiculous this lawsuit is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mike's not happy at all that the head of the RNC not certified the election, but she came out and said, yes, Biden won the election. 3 days before, you can't tell me, here's the quote, you can't tell me why Rona McDaniel, the head of the RNC, made a statement saying Biden won 3 days before this Supreme Court complaint was supposed to go to the Supreme Court. What about the timing of that, America? Why would she say that at the moment in time? She didn't have to say that. What is she trying to get? More donor money? Is she trying to get donor money from Democrats? She is a rhino as they come. Rona McDaniel did not respond to the Daily Beast. But
I want someone to read the stuff that he writes, but like in the style of like wrestling promo.
Yeah, what you gonna do, Ronna Romney, when Lindell Mania runs wild on you?
Paul Bearer style.
Oh, Paul Bearer, I'm not gonna go that high, because I have too many testicles and can't elevate my voice to that
level. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, he's got what we call the old Crown Royale.
Yes! So, the one thing I wonder about this is Mike Lindell, I don't remember if he has been subpoenaed by the 1-6 committee yet or not, but our beautiful boy Alex Jones got himself a subpoena.
Alex Jones and Oliver Stone. One of those is more important than the other.
Roger Stone, not the guy that thinks
Roger Stone, not Oliver Stone. Yeah, whatever. They can subpoena him too for fun.
Yeah, yeah. But old Alex decided that he was going to have himself a moment in the sun, where he gave a 2-minute long video that he posted to his dumb website, ranting and raving about how he might testify if it was live in front of the whole world or on C-SPAN or whatever, but if they were going to put him behind closed doors, he was going to plead the fifth instead of testifying, although pleading the fifth is testifying, in case you were wondering, Alex. When you show
betcha
up,
he won't. Betcha he won't plead the fifth.
If, well, I mean, the thing about Alex is that he saw that Bannon got indicted. So I feel like the group that he got the subpoenas with was like Enrico Tarrio, a bunch of Proud Boys, Roger Stone. This was like the shithead lineup.
Also, that, Oliver Stone.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, Oliver Stone was there too. Now, okay, we need to talk to a lawyer because I don't. Can you plead the fifth if you're not being prosecuted, if you're just being questioned?
Like, yes.
You're just so as not to incriminate yourself. But yeah, pleading the fifth means you did something that is incriminating. Like,
not really.
No,
the Fifth Amendment is like the Fifth Amendment is just an incredibly strict thing where you just don't have to answer questions about anything if you don't want to. You can just assert the fifth and that's it. Because there was this case where a baby had died, and the theory about what happened to the baby was shaken baby syndrome, and an aunt pair for the family had been a suspect, and then she'd been ruled out as a suspect, and literally the prosecution said, hey, you're not a suspect anymore, but we'd like to ask you a few questions. And she was like, no, thank you. And then the law enforcement was like, you don't have a Fifth Amendment right here because you're not actually being targeted by the investigation. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court was like, no, she does have Fifth Amendment protections. You can't just say she doesn't because you're saying she doesn't, because you're not, because she could say something under questioning where you'd be like, oh shit, remember that whole thing where we said we weren't going to prosecute you? Scratch that, you're under arrest. So the Supreme Court is very vociferous in who gets to plead the fifth, which is literally everyone for everything. So, but the thing about Alex is he has that brand where he's, I'm combative and I'm taking it to the deep state and I'm going to show him what's what. And him, Donald Trump, all these people have always said that if you take the fifth, you're covering, you're lying, you're hiding something. And that's why Bannon didn't do it. That's why Bannon's risking a year in a club fed for a contempt of Congress charge. So I feel like Alex is not as confident as Bannon is in his ability to get out of this shit.
Yeah.
So I feel like Alex is going to show up and plead the fifth and just be a bitch. I feel like he's just going to do that. And he's going to look bad in the eyes of his community for having asserted his constitutional rights.
Yeah, we'll see. Other podcasts will cover that to great effect, and I'm excited to hear it. So do we want to start talking about Dallas?
I mean, I live for talking about Dallas. This is by far the biggest and most interesting QAnon-related headline of the week. These people are bananas.
It's time for our Podcast Within Podcast. Who shot this pod? We're talking about Dallas.
This is, I mean, on one level, this is just getting more and more tragic. And on the other level, this is basically what QAnon was always going to lead to at some point. There was going to be a person who was going to jump in, seize the crown of cult leader for a group of these of the people in QAnon, and then get them to do something on this level. We are now over 2 weeks into this event where Negative 48 has taken his group of people to Dallas. This group of people have had all kinds of bizarre concepts and theories about what was going to happen in Dallas involving JFK Sr. coming back, JFK Jr. coming back. There is now a working theory that Negative 48 himself is Jesus and that they are his original disciples that have been reincarnated on this earth.
What's Negative's real name, and what's the made-up number science he believes in? I say science loosely there.
His name is his last name is really crunchy, and his first name is Mike. That's what basically everyone calls him.
Okay.
Nega
Mike.
Yeah, Nega Mike is that's what I'm going to go with for his name, because every time I see his last name, I just look at it and say, "Oh my god, I'd butcher that so bad." It's just one of those perfect names that you and L would spend 10 minutes just mocking me for.
And and he believes in
he believes in gematria, which
gematria.
Is
ooh, that's gotta hurt your credibility.
Yes, and the worst part about the gematria shit is that he admits that what they're doing with the gematria is making themselves happy. The whole point of playing with words and numbers to make it all fit is, on the one hand, an attempt to divine God's sacred truth, but the first and most important part of that God's sacred truth is to make yourself feel good. And for those who don't know how gematria works, there's a bunch of different ways that different translations, but the simple thing is it's an alphanumeric system where each letter has a numeric value. You say a phrase, then you write down what the numerical value of each letter in that phrase is. You come up with a number, and then you find more phrases, and you see if those phrases have the same number match. And if they do, they're connected cosmically in the spirit wave force and the God consciousness and all that kind of good stuff. I remember seeing someone talking about how it was possible that Princess Diane was actually the mother of Barron and Ivanka Trump. I
saw you post about that. Lost my mind.
And I went to the gematria website, and if you type in Princess Ivanka, it matches gematrically. It matches with the one savior, and it matches with like 50 other statements.
My God, you've blown it wide open.
takes off sunglasses.
Using the power of like gematria calculator.biz or whatever.
Right, exactly. That's the point of this, is that you can find dozens and dozens of things that all have the same gerrymetric number, but you just ignore the like 30 of them that are terrible for your nonsense. And you go to the things that are good. Michael.
It also matches up with loaf bladder cradle. What's that mean?
I just looked it up. His name is Michael Brian Proxman.
Brian Proxman.
Yep, that is Jesus reincarnated. And if you watch these videos, his audience around him is so rapt of attention, and they're just so in it to win it when he talks. And he'll just like go there, he'll go in front of a crowd and he'll just scream a phrase. He'll be like Donald Trump one is 397. You know what else is 397? JFK shall return. Like, JFK Jr. will lead us. And he's just yelling all of these phrases and banging the drum that all those phrases also connect to that number. So it all fits. It all works together. And once you become like fluent in gematria, you can do this. You can just work anything into meaning anything and linking it up to anything. This is just the latest participatory form of the conspiracy theory, because that's what QAnon and the Illuminati and the New World Order shit has always been about. You're no longer passively observing the world. You're actively looking at the world in this way of like, oh, this new Justin Bieber video is out. Oh, it's a song. It's okay. It's kind of catchy, but whatever. But when you're in their world, you're watching it, and you're like, oh my God, Justin's talking about Pizzagate. Look what happened in that corner of that video there. And look what happened over there. These are signs. These are clues. And then you start posting that stuff on the internet and people say, oh man, you're onto something. And you just wind each other up into a frenzy and you get all like hot and bothered.
I wonder what Pizzagate is in gematria.
What?
I wonder what pizza is in gematria. I mean, I'm not going to have track to find it, but I'm sure. Oh. I mean, there has to be some sacred number shift with them, right? How much stuff links pizza?
Oh God, I'm sure pizza links. Which would be really awesome is because pizza is such it's such a small word. I'm sure it links to like a million billion things. And you just have to ignore the things that you don't want it to be. So, like, if pizza's bad, you just, like, immediately focus on all the bad things that pizza connects to in gematria.
You're just like, oh, well, you know what I found out the other night? Hillary Clinton in gematria links up the same way that pizza is truth does. So think about it. What are they trying to say? Do they think these gematria folks, do they think that they're like getting this stuff from God or whatever? Like who else could be making all these like mathematic clues for them? It has to be God, right?
What's that terrible Jim Carrey movie, 23? He just sees
It's that movie. It's that, only with 17 and gematria now.
So yeah, it's seven. Oh God, 17. QAnon just loses their mind. Gematria, God.
Yeah. So I tell you that I for one am genuinely pretty excited that QAnon is up to like genuine cult shit, like more like mass market appeal cult shit. Because I feel like just like as a like a cult of personality whose figurehead is some invisible person on the internet and whose like actual real figurehead is just Donald Trump, our former president. Like that's harder to sell to people as dangerous and kooky, but if they're going to start like, you know, buying compounds and like, you know, doing like formation dances and lining up to like talk to some dude who's standing in a candle wreath queue on the ground or whatever, like it's just like, oh yeah, this is going to be easy to point to people and just be like, yo, these people are fucking crazy, like you should not listen to what they have to say.
That's the big schism, right? I can't believe I'm saying this. Mainstream QAnon really doesn't like Nega Mike because he's making them all look bad.
Yes, this is the worst part of the what I call serious QAnon, because fuck them, they're never going to be mainstream. But like old Jordan Oneball and all of these guys are just talking about how these people in Dallas are ruining the movement. They're not really representative. I've seen people talk about how like QAnon has millions of followers and these people in Dallas number in the hundreds. That should tell you all you need to know. And of course, this pivots into these people in Dallas being crisis actors. It's all staged. It's being funded by George Soros. Like the people that have run QAnon for all this time don't want to admit that they are to blame for this shit. They don't want to blame that they gave Nega Mike the infrastructure and the audience and all the rest of it for him to go out and grab himself a cult, a group of people that were looking for a cult leader to form a cult with, so that he could run around and explain to them that pizza has a gematria value of 1,070. And so, you know what also has that? Race war and 1,000 years and criminal psychic attacks and Russian roulette and godless
psychic attacks.
Yep. Man. And godless mind of the Ten Commandments. And is this the man that did shake kingdoms and descendant of David? Those are all things that are dramatically linked to pizza.
We need to write.
So as we all knew, pizza is wildly relevant to our lives.
Yes.
And God wants us to know, which is why he gave us his sacred number system, his sacred matrix bingo card.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, what happens if you switch over to a different language? Like,
I'm sure the math perfectly checks out, because it should absolutely, right?
All the time.
If you go to English, that's the thing, is you can do this. They have Jewish gematria, then they have English gematria, and then they have simple gematria. So you can just work this thing however you want to with whatever whichever system you want to use to get whatever answers you want. You can just do that. I mean, it's just hilarious that you always can find links you want to. Oh my God,
that like three tier system seems pretty racist to me, right?
Yeah.
You could either have it in Jewish, like the language of, like, you know, the old God's chosen people. Of course, they're going to know it. It's God's magic matrix bingo card. And then below that is English, the language of Anglo-Saxon people. They're white enough. And then the third tier beyond that, anyone who's not Anglo-Saxon, English, Persian, or a Jew is simple. Like, you guys get the simple version. You guys get the Cliff Notes version of God's bingo card.
Yeah.
So pizza. It's like the fucking, like, it's like a mobile game. Like, you get the free version.
Yes, yeah.
These people are paying at different tiers to unlock more of the card.
Yeah, and they get no ads. If you do simple gematria, you get a lot of ads when you talk to God.
Oh, yeah, basically.
Yeah, they're just like, would you like to use our calculator to convert this into a sacred number? Like, that'll be 20 gems, or you can watch an ad.
Yeah. So, pizza in English gematria links up with Kennedy and Red Wave and... Oh! And Muhammad, so oh my god, pizza is just crackling with power.
Wow, we all knew pizza could not be stopped.
No, pizza's undeniable. So, this is the thing, is that these people are literally just hanging out all day with Negative Mike, just working on this stuff, just coming up with phrases and then trying to link them to other phrases, or just using an internet search device for gematria like I just did, and just finding ways to get themselves excited. I mean, this is like being a 5-year-old kid and running around being happy because you're going to get chocolate in an hour or so. I mean,
Mike, do you still have that gematria calculator on hand?
Yes, I do.
Look up Nintendo Switch.
Oh, God.
We're getting into the holiday season. It's more relevant now than ever. We need to use the sacred arts passed down by Jewish God to tell us if the Nintendo Switch is cool for us to put under the Hanukkah bush.
It is absolutely cool for you to do that, because it looks like, according to this, it matches up with oneness with God.
Wow. Oh, shit. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. Jewish God endorses the Nintendo Switch for your 2021 Hanukkah holiday shopping list.
What is Hell World with a Q, our dumb spelling?
Oh, what are we? Oh, man.
Wow, I don't think that we should play with this. I'm getting scared. I feel like this is the start of our The Craft moment.
Yeah, it matches up with L as a cuck. It's like, wow.
That would be the greatest thing.
Oh, I'm like, hey, I knew it.
Yeah. In Jewish gematria, Hell World of a Q matches up with Who is Q? So we've done it.
Oh, shit.
Layers within layers.
The officially Jewish God approved. That's right, folks. The Kosher Adventures in Hell World podcast. You heard it here first through the power of Jewish gematria.
We were chosen by made up cult negative 48 bullshit to find out who Q is. It's Ron.
It was
Ron. And
just like all people that mess with gematria, we're just going to stop at the one that suits us.
Yeah,
we're going to ignore all the other ones.
Switch is one with God. We are meant to fight. Who is Q? Boom, nailed it. This could not have gone better.
Yeah, we're ignoring the fact that Hellworld also matches up to empty scrotum sacks, and we're just like, ooh.
No, full scrotum sacks.
Yeah,
stay on message. Stay on message.
I mean, it's not me. It's God's bingo board that determined that we have the scrolls.
God's bingo
board. They're just filling nothing.
Yeah.
So what other culty shit are these people up to besides playing with gematria? We just played with gematria for like 5 minutes on air.
Friends with gematria. Gematria with friends.
You can see how that could be a little bit of fun, but I'm sure that a bunch of their other culty shit is much less fun.
Yeah. So they have been kicked out of the hotel that they were in because they were getting too noisy and rowdy.
Yeah.
And then Neg Mike has decided that he then started pushing everybody. The other thing they're doing is they're soliciting a lot of donations. They're demanding a lot of money from these people and from these people's families. And now they were asking for the people that are truly in it to win it, that are here for the long haul and are not going to give up, to continue to request fundage so that they can get Airbnbs, so they can stay in Dallas And they have been kicked out of a couple Airbnbs because, again, they're being rowdy and not abiding by terms of service. I think in one situation, like, they had like 20 people in a room for like four. There are plenty of family members who are like, I have a loved one trapped in Dallas right now, and they're not coming back, and I'm not finding ways to contact them.
They need to learn the anime convention rule. You can do that, but only for like two nights, and you gotta be cool. You gotta keep it on the DL.
They've recruited a couple homeless people into their movement, and apparently they robbed one of the homeless people.
What?
Yes.
Nice. Do we think, and I ask this question because it is par for this sort of course, and not just because it's on brand for me to ask this question, but do we think the cult has started to incorporate weird sex stuff yet?
Fingers
crossed.
I mean, if a cult leader like Neg Mike and people who do this kind of stuff that he does, it almost seems inevitable that they start working on manipulating the women in the movement to be part of their harem. That's just part of the power trip for these people, is that, like, I'm in charge of all of you. I'm running your lives. So now I have access to your women. They are part of they're part of me. And because
I'm not going to lie, Mike, you got a little JFK there for a second. It added a little bit of credence to what you were saying.
We have access to your women.
I'm blown away that I got Kennedy there.
It was like notes of Kennedy.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'm gladdened by this. That's probably the furthest thing from what.
For joining our cult. Now, remove your pants because it's time for initiation.
Yes,
the first rule of our cult is no bras. Get rid of them.
Like, what does this have to do with QAnon? And he's just like, what the hell's QAnon?
The gematria for bra is, I don't know, something. Get rid of them. Shut up.
They're bad.
This is just how Kennedy rolls.
Yeah.
I thought you were into it.
Yeah, so they're looking for places to like actually stay permanently, be it the compound, be it the Airbnbs. The movement has put out requests for donations, and they have called the movement itself the cult. Like, everyone who listened to Neg Mike and came to Dallas, you were part of the cult. Those who left have strayed from God's light and have failed and have screwed up, but those who've remained have redubbed themselves the Remnant, and they are looking for your hard-earned money and donations to maintain their existence in Dallas and all of that good stuff.
That's some Jim Jones level shit right there.
Oh,
that's...
man, it's so refreshing for such like. Because the way that QAnon operates is so dry and internet centric most of the time, it's a little refreshing to get back to just classic cult bullshit.
Now, and Karma 2021 has been following them real closely on Twitter, and you interviewed her recently. So are there more details in that interview? Is that up on our feed? Where's that?
I have an interview with Karma up. We played a bunch of clips of people talking about various things that were going on in the movement. A lot of talk about these gummies that are probably laced with some kind of drug. The people that are
go into that real quick.
The people that are defending Mike and all this stuff are saying that it's like CBD gummies. They're really harmless. There are other people who are saying that this stuff is definitely more powerful than edibles, and that they take edibles, and people's reactions to these gummies are not just people getting high off of like the stuff in marijuana that gets you high, that they're like getting like, this is like psychedelics, like this could be like LSD level stuff. So
now we're talking.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. So I mean, this is, like where this is going between the fact that you've got 20 people crammed into a room. And by the way, a bunch of people who are on the live streams and whatever are talking about the fact that they're not feeling so well. They're getting kind of sick. And
have a little cough. Have they lost their sense of smell?
I don't know about the sense of smell, but there is some coughing. So yeah, this is you can have three guesses on their vaccination status, and the first two don't count. So we're going down that road also with this shit.
Is any of them violently anti-vax on Twitter? Because if so, those people have definitely got the vaccine, and they're those people have 100% been vaccinated. They're just like, yeah, the vaccine is the deep state trying to control your gene therapy or whatever, and then they're like posting this literally as a booster shot is going into their arm.
In breaking news apropos of nothing, the jury in the Ahmed Arbery case has found all the people that killed him guilty of killing him.
Yeah, so I read that.
Yeah, that is good news to hear about when not talking about a cult that is working their way down to being the latest version of I Am Shrinko or the Branch Davidians or Heaven's Gate or all the rest of that shit.
Hey, so, Om Shinrikyo was way scarier and cooler, and they had heads full of acid all the time.
I don't know.
They would be hiding their shit in some gummy bear. They would just drop a whole sheet, like roll up a whole sheet of it and suck it into their mouth. Like,
that was their big money maker.
Eating a whole like roast on a bone.
Yeah, that was their big money maker. They made a lot of acid and purportedly really high test stuff.
I'm a law abiding citizen, so I've never done acid, but if I have ever done acid, I would tell you that it is amazing. Hypothetically, acid sounds incredible.
Wink. Yeah.
But were you to actually question L about his usage of acid, he would plead the Fifth Amendment, which is his right as an American to defend himself with his constitutional protections as granted.
Okay.
Only if I'm like under subpoena. If you just come out onto the street, I don't have to plead shit. I just be right. Like, I'm not talking to you.
So things are only getting crazier in Dallas. You've talked with Karma about it. She is constantly tweeting updates. So we have that interview up. It's only getting weirder and more culty, and they're looking for permanent Negamike's remnant are looking for permanent residence in Dallas. Do we have rough numbers on the remnant?
I would say at this point it's probably somewhere around 70 people. They're trying to recruit. Like as I talked about that homeless guy that they robbed, like this is the thing. Is like they're when you see the videos of them that they're posting on social media, there is this aggressive, concerted effort in those videos for them to look really happy and really excited, and everyone's having a great time. And that is, again, cult 101 behavior, where you see everybody...
Bro, hard not to have a great time in Dallas. Such a beautiful city.
Yes.
If any podcast booking agents are listening, we would love to do a live show.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. Hell world in Dallas. We'll do a live show from Daily Plaza. Apparently, bump going elbow to elbow with Neg Mike and his crew. That would be probably really bad. And we would
only after we all get our boosters.
Yes.
I just want to. I want to play the show and have it be like 70 people deep, but it's literally just Neg Mike and all of his cretins. Like his whole clique of followers is just there. And it's just like we tricked them by handing out flyers that said JFK Jr. was going to show up.
we all get in our best JFK. We just wear Kennedy Halloween masks.
Kennedy Halloween masks, suits with the 1960s skinny ties, just like the whole aesthetic of that. And we just
it's like that. It's like that sweet Human Giant sketch with the Olsen about the Olsen twins. If anybody out there was lucky enough to see Human Giant when it was on the air, that show was great.
Oh, man.
I'm just imagining us like doing that bit and just having more and more flop sweat just pouring off our foreheads as like 70 people are just indignantly shaking their heads at us and getting angrier and angrier, and we're just like,
bro, they might be a fucking crazy gummy LSD. They might actually buy into it. Like, they might just be like, oh my god, it's the holy trinity of them. Three JFK juniors are here, and we're just like, yeah, that's essentially correct.
Yes, nothing bad has ever happened to us.
And then we just record our regular show as always, but dress like three JFK juniors to like an uproarious standing ovation.
Yeah. Oh, our Gematria bit would have killed with them. That that probably would have been the whole show. We just would have been literally holding up our phones, typing in words, and then shouting geriatric matches back to them, and having the crowd roar in approval back to us.
Just reacting to Gematria calculator results becomes our new free bird. We just can't do it. We're like, you know, every time we do anything, we also just got to remember to play the hits. Yep. Now for 30 minutes of Gematria.
The Gematria for Pikachu is also Race War. What?
Wow. How you feeling, Dallas? Are you ready for some Gematria?
our newest reoccurring bit, Gematria with friends.
Yes.
Hell no. That sounds like a horror. Like, no way. Save it for the bonus content, pals.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
bonus content for the fucking Patreon could be like just 30 minute smashes of us just reacting to Gematria calculator results.
Yeah. That's our new series on the bonus content is you submit like 10 words to us, we run it through Gematria and freak out and give it.
Oh, man, there has to be a way for us to format that into a game show we could play with each other.
Yeah. There's got to be some sort of Gematria boggle that we can do.
There has to be. We'll put a pin in this.
This sounds like production meeting stuff. We're recording an actual show.
Shut
for
up.
Listeners.
Cut this here. Cut that. This is our idea. Don't steal.
Editor, make sure that no one ever hears that idea. They might steal it. It's so good.
Yes.
Yeah. We're trying to get it to our nice subscriber count. So, editor, you better cut that out.
Yes. Done. Done yesterday.
Anyway, well, that was a fun headline segment full of fun and frivolity, but it's time for us to get down to some brass tacks while we put the ad back into Adventures in Hell World with a message from our sponsor. Back after the spot.
The big picture of misinformation seems to get worse each day. QAnon, COVID, the 2020 election, January 6th, climate denialism, and so much more. What are journalists, social media platforms, and society doing about it all? Enter Prism Meta News, a media company on a mission to help you keep eyes on the many fronts of the misinformation conflict. Prism's newsletter, This Week in Misinformation, is a fact-based clearinghouse for all you need to know to stay in the fight. The summary of top stories is an easy 5-minute read, or you can dig deep through the 100-plus links included each week. As far as email signups go, this one is worth it. Put a dent in misinformation culture by getting the free This Week in Misinformation newsletter delivered to your email box. Find Prism Meta News on Twitter or Facebook, or go straight to prismmetanews.substack.com to sign up. And thank you, Prism, for sponsoring us. We appreciate very much that we have people willing to back us with cold hard currency in exchange for us promoting them, which is what promotional content is. I've just explained capitalism. Go me.
Good job, Mike.
Thank you.
we're going to have to start keeping count for when we do our 420th ad read, if we're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So now that we've done that, it's time to dip into ye old mailbag.
Our listeners got questions, we got answers. It's time for Q and A.
So first up is a placeholder, and you're going to be shocked to find out that a lot of our questions have to do with Dallas. Placeholder asks, negative 48's crew doesn't seem like they're headed this way, but what if a revival meeting came to a more appropriate location along the shores of Cape Cod in July? Would the podcast go to observe, perhaps from a safe distance? Oh, absolutely. I would absolutely attend. I'm there. I'm there yesterday.
I would ask to dip into our deep, deep podcast coffers. I would fly up and I would take photos. We would observe. Yeah, that'd be so much fun.
Oh, the remnant does Cape Cod. We're there for it yesterday.
We would just have to like check the restaurants in the area too, just sort of make like a day of it. Just go, yeah. Keep an eye on these toasts for like an hour or whatever. And then just be like, you guys want to, I heard there's a good lobster spot around here. You guys
yeah, lobster eat? Rolls. That's the thing up there.
You guys want to go eat some fucking lobster, kid?
Yeah. Oh man.
Immediately would be our response to if Neg Mike decides to go on the road with his show, we're there. So both we will do a live show for them, and we will be an audience for their live show, which is again just Mike yelling Gematria matches between phrases that have nothing to do with one another.
Making such a trip would have us rubbing up on being like journalist adjacent, right? Because we would have to be like asking them questions and stuff.
Yeah, that would be wild. I mean, I had the rather absurd idea of attending the 1-6 march. L talked me out of it, and thank God he did.
And, yeah, I remember you floating that idea by me, and I was just like, I don't know about that idea, Coach.
Yeah, I remember when that talk was going around. You were just like, no, don't do that.
Yep. Yeah, so Cleodora Silverstry asks, if you could create QAnon as a playable new faction in the Illuminati New World Order card game, what would be their unique victory condition?
Storm. Well,
first things first, what is it, Cleodora? They write it all the time. I'm pretty sure the last name is pronounced Silvestri.
Silvestri? Okay. I'll try to get that right next time.
Like Mark Silvestri? That's wasn't that like a comic book artist guy? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But like it's just they write in so frequently that it's always been a thing where I'm just like, I'm not sure if that's how it's pronounced. So for what it's worth out there, Cleodora, one of us is probably getting it right. And to that person, I say kudos. And to the other person, I say budos, which is my new way of saying that you stink.
I stink.
I mean, it might not be you. It might be me. Maybe I am the one who deserves budos.
Yeah, so I have never played Illuminati New World Order, so I don't know the exact win conditions of that game.
Well, I'm not going to be the one to explain them to you because I also haven't played the Illuminati card game.
Yeah,
I've
seen it.
Are we going to have to dip into our podcast millions in order to purchase a copy of the Illuminati New World Order card game for some bonus content?
That seems reasonable.
We get together and do a little draft or whatever.
I remember somebody talking about how I think they have like the complete set like framed on a wall because so many people have talked about how this game had revealed the truth of the world to everybody.
Because
like the World Trade Center is like burning in one of the photos and all kinds of stuff like that.
Are we talking about the Steve Jackson Illuminati game?
Yes, we are. That's the game.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I would say their win condition would be something to the effect of, if there's like a celebrity in the game, having that celebrity be elected president the way Trump was. So whatever Illuminati person you could, if you had an ability to do something where you're like, put this person into a position of power and increase their influence by 7 or whatever, I would think that that would be kind of like their way to win the game, would be put the NWO version of Trump into the NWO version of the presidency equal W. So
is apprentice still a thing? Can we get somebody to make us up an Illuminati apprentice patch, and then we could get a bunch of our beautiful babies into a NWA Illuminati card game league?
Nice.
That would be so awesome. Be such an incredibly niche thing that would go for like 4 months before we burned the game out.
Oh, hell no, man. The meta is so diverse. we're really gonna crack it.
Yeah, I guess the Illuminati card game was updated for Y2K and has a second edition, but I don't think they've really touched it since.
Yeah, the Illuminati, the game of conspiracy, is available on Amazon for $40. So I guess I'll have to make that a stocking stuffer or something.
Yeah,
get crack-a-lackin' on that. So thank you for that question. We hope to have a better answer for you in the future, maybe? Question mark?
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely know once we get a few league matches under our belt.
Yes.
Once we've at least seeded our top four bracket, we'll probably all have enough understanding of the game to know exactly where people sit.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a Steve Jackson game. It can't be that complicated.
Bro, you have no idea.
The only thing I ever knew about that game was an urban legend, much like the urban legend of the person tearing up the Chaos Orb and blowing the fragments of it across the table. There was an urban legend of an Illuminati New World Order game where a guy, they were in the finals of this high stakes, ultra competitive Illuminati game. And this guy was like, "Hey man, if you just give me $50, I'll concede." And the guy was like, "Okay," and handed him $50. And then the guy played a card that said, "I lied," and it said, "You may break your half of any agreement." And it's like, I
don't know if that's a real thing, but boy howdy, if it was.
Yeah, big if true. Incredible. Big if
yeah,
true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
That's like the Illuminati New World Order version of shredding up the Chaos Orb.
Yes.
For a nice juicy magic reference there for like the six people that listen to the podcast that play magic.
Yeah, and know about the Chaos Orb shredding. So thank you for the question that we did an incredible deep dive into. So Peter Miller asks, will they still be waiting in Houston on November 22nd, 2023? And then he corrects himself and says, I meant Dallas, of course. So,
Hey, a year is a lot of time. Maybe they'll go to Houston for a while. Maybe they're like, I'm assuming they've got somebody with two sticks that points them into the direction of JFK Jr. And if he happens to be maybe appearing in Houston for a while, then that's where they got to go.
I mean, real question, why are they hanging out where they think he didn't die and not where he was born? Like, you know, Massachusetts. I think that makes more sense, but I don't know Dramatria.
I think there was a bunch of stuff that Neg Mike had brought up about like Kenny would return in Dallas matches geometrically with this, that, the other thing and all that kind of stuff. But as we've been saying repeatedly, they should be in Cape Cod. They should be in Massachusetts. Like the only thing that the Kennedys have to do with Dallas was that JFK got shot there. And that's it. But I think that it's just the fact that Daily Plaza is just such a hub of conspiracy theories in the world. That's where you can go for the grassy knoll and all this other stuff. And this is where the deep state revealed its power and showed us that they could kill a president in broad daylight. I just think that allure and that appeal to these people is just so overwhelming that no amount of logic or reason about like where they should be is gonna beat that.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not even a joke. The Kennedy's seat of power is Massachusetts. That would make the most sense to me.
Yeah, it was like a big deal when Ed Markey beat like Joe Kennedy in that Senate primary, because it was the first time ever that a Kennedy had lost an election in Massachusetts. Like that was just a thing. Like them being in elected office in our state is their birthright. There's just, this is where they ran the shit. As all sorts of conspiracy theorists will it's so funny because conspiracy theorists will talk about how JFK and RFK were martyred heroes and champions of the world. But when you get to old Teddy Kennedy, they'll be like, "Hey, no one cared that he murdered that girl. He got to keep his Senate seat. What the fuck is up with that?" And it's like, well, hey, either the Kennedys are heroes or monsters. We live in a binary world, assholes. Pick one. And again, yeah, you're right. Massachusetts is so beloved of the Kennedys that Ted Kennedy did have someone die in his car. And we still kept electing him to the Senate. This is how we roll. So, yeah, it's not a great look for us. I acknowledge that.
So, yeah, the end result is that they shouldn't be in Houston or Dallas by then. They should have made their way to Massachusetts finally. Maybe they can hang out up in fucking Gloucester.
Oh, hey, why don't they go to Chappaquiddick? Why don't they do that? Why don't they try? Why don't they see if Teddy's car is going to float up with him back in it? I mean, let's
That'd
do
be all, cool.
Let's go to Not all of
them. Can. Why don't they go to Revere?
Why don't they go to Quincy and have Tommy from Quincy talk to them about why Mac Jones is a bum and why did Belichick run off Brady, kid? What was up with that? What the fuck?
So. Or they can go to Worcester.
Massachusetts cities are the best.
Massachusetts is really a trip. And also, I don't know a single person who gives even one half of a fuck about a Kennedy, so I'm not sure how much juice they have left in Massachusetts now. Old people are dying in droves. There's a pandemic on, so that's got to be bad for the Kennedys' name, but certainly not bad for their money. They're white people. They've stockpiled money. They will have money forever.
So thank you for the question. Reverend Xenofact asks, the Dallas Negative 48 cult is looking increasingly unhinged, but do you see the grifters who are jealous of Negative 48? So who's going to try to duplicate his success or steal his marks? The people that are jealous of him, and trust me, it's jealousy of the highest order, their brand is such that I don't think they could do it. I don't think that they could. I don't think Qtar or Sather or Martin Geddes or any of these jamokes could actually go out and try to grab a crew of people to get closer to God, because they're more about the facts and the evidence and blah, blah, blah. And the spirituality helps you out. That's great. I mean, maybe Praying Medic would do it, but that guy is you just have to make a buck, and he's lazy, so he would never.
No way, man. I know who it's going to be. It's going to be John Edwards out from the side hatch. He's gonna
that'd be great.
He's going to be like, I'm back, baby. I can get you on a line to JFK Jr. right now.
That's a great, that's an incredible call. That is world class. Yes. 100% John Edwards. He's going to 15 minutes of fame, bam, let's make it a half hour. He's back, and he's on top of his game. This is all happening.
I mean, shit, Mike Lindell somehow made a name for himself in the QAnon movement. You don't think that John Edwards has the juice? He's been there before. He's been to the top of the mountain.
Yes.
And then by his side, he'll have the pet psychic lady.
Oh, that'd be great. So thank you for the question, Reverend Xenofact, and allowing L to just absolutely nail that. Professor DuckDuckGo, Professor Dr. DuckDuckGo asks, did any dead celebrities come back this week? Depends on who you ask. I think me and the crew would say no, but if you asked Negative Mike and his crew, they would say yes. They were very positive that Michael Jackson and a bunch of other celebrities hung out with them in Dallas this week. It's like creationism and evolution. It's a debate. You got to let both sides have their view of things, and we all just go along and get along. One big happy family, all that kind of stuff.
I like to think that the answer is yes. Like, John Candy came back for one brief day, but he just sort of stayed out of the limelight. And he just had a cheeseburger and hung out and maybe looked at some of his family members from across the way, and then just went back to being dead.
John Candy, huh? That's your pick?
Yeah, just a quiet remembrance of his life. I can see that.
I wanted somebody that generally people would be like, yeah, it's good for that guy to be back. Not somebody like John Candy doesn't really have any stink of he doesn't have any bad juju about him.
Right.
That's fair. I figured that's where you were going. I was like, why John Candy? And I'm like, yeah, he doesn't really have any. I'm not aware of any bad John Candy publicity. So
right. Yeah, he's like the proto version of Keanu Reeves, where everyone just loves him and he seems like a genuinely good guy. So
I think he you either die a hero or live long enough to be cast as Mario.
that could be true. It probably is. Thank you, Professor Doctor, for that question.
For what it's worth, I think I heard that Nintendo came out, or somebody involved with that movie came out, it was just
Illumination.
Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of that It's a Me Mario stuff. So Mario's just going to sound actually just like Chris Pratt the whole way. That's going to be unfortunate.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. So Snorlax CPAP says, someone abroad today that Taylor Swift dated and got dumped by a Kennedy, so of course she is dropping hints to the JFK assassination in her music. Which one of you is going to listen multiple times to her entire list to resolve this for us?
It's all tainted. She's re-recording all our music because she had to get out of contracts.
Yeah, so that's the problem, is which versions are we going to listen to? The stuff that Scooter owns, or the stuff that T-Swizzle has proprietary over? Is the new music more Kennedy-centric because she got dumped after she recorded that music? So this is a mystery. I'm just going to make
the same appeal to Taylor that I make to any celebrity who gets their heart broken by other celebrity people. Like, hey, I'm right here, Tay. I'm right here. I can be your shoulder to cry on. I'm not a celebrity. You don't have to worry about me dealing with any of that celebrity bullshit. I'm just some guy, you know? I'm just a guy who's interested in you for your attractiveness and your fantastic wealth and success. So
see, I never heard the Kennedy stuff. The legend I heard is that her hit song Blank Space was inspired by the anime Death Note, giving it a completely different tone. That's the legend I heard.
I heard that that her like whatever Getting Back Together song was actually about Dave Coulier.
Oh, wow.
That's world class.
I loved that slider. It like slid into you. It took you like a second to register what Dave joke it just hit you, and then it hit you right in the gut. That was great. Yes. I love that. Yeah. That was that's the reaction I crave.
Yes. So. So thank you for that. Maybe some of our bonus content breaking down using Gematria to break down Taylor Swift's lyrics to try to figure out what she was truly saying about the Kennedy assassination. Existential Dread. Hey Dread, how you doing? She says, my question is more of a suggestion. I'd love to see you guys do a crossover with Knowledge Fight. It's my War Against Christmas wish. Hey, if those guys ever deigned to let us plebes talk to them, that'd be fine with me.
Aren't those guys like big timers? Like that's something you need to be appealing to them, because we're like small potatoes.
Yeah, they just interviewed John Ronson for one of their episodes because he had hung out with Alex Jones when he was covering him. So
nice.
Yeah. No. Yeah,
I mean, that would be like, oh man, you know, it would be sick if the Adventures in Hellworlds guys were on Hot Ones. And it's just like, yeah, that would be great. But like, it would also be great if we were making movies with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and stuff. But we got to wait for those. We got to wait for their people to contact us.
Let's just say that if you've heard of a podcast and you know and you listen to it, if that podcast were to talk to us, we would say yes. That's pretty much how this works.
I mean,
our door is open because we're on the bottom rung of the ladder. I mean, that's just the way this.
Well, we're above the Nazi ones, but below Knowledge. Yeah.
Look, Travis McElroy, I know you're listening right now. Get us on your show. hook your place up with a little publicity.
Doesn't have to be the main one. It could even be Sawbones. Like,
honestly, I would prefer the Adventure Zone. Let me get in there, mix it up.
Oh wow, yeah. I play D&D with them.
Yeah.
Well, let's not get too crazy.
Yeah. So that rounds out the mailbag for the week. So our question to Numerous is: what are you looking forward to?
I mean, do I get to be the basic bitch and just say Thanksgiving because I have like a bunch of stuff going on this weekend and it all seems pretty cool?
Yeah, you can go there. Hawkeye just dropped on Disney Plus. I watched the first episode of that, so I'm excited for more of that. And there's a bunch of stuff coming out next month in December. So I mean, I'm looking forward to the Spider-Mans. That's coming up real soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the fact that in 3 days, CVS will allow me to schedule my booster shot because their website, if you are not exactly 6 months past your second dose of the Bill Gates, George Soros murder vaccine or whatever we're calling it this week, CVS will not allow you to schedule an appointment. The software just won't be like, hey, your last dose was this time, so you need to be past that. So how about 2 weeks after that or whatever? So, but I did actually try to cheat the software by putting in a date that was earlier, and it immediately was like, here's your possible scheduled appointments. And I was like, yep, that's great. So now I just have to wait until
just do Walgreens. Walgreens will let you do it tomorrow.
Oh, well, hey, Walgreens.
they don't give a shit. Like, I'm not at 6 months, and I went on Walgreens, and they were like, yeah, man, you want that good stuff?
Oh, good to know. I think Alex Jones was talking about how we're going to get, like, daily or hourly boosters at some point. And I'm like, I'm in. Come on, Walgreens. Just turn me into a pin cushion. I just want to walk out of Walgreens like a porcupine, just, like, full of syringes, just turning my bloodstream into a vaccine stream with a little blood in it. I'm like, I'm good for all of it. So I'm looking forward to that. And the fact that on Thursday we get to just gorge like gluttons and watch football, although I think all the games are probably going to be really bad. I mean, the Detroit Lions are involved. That's always a tragedy. So that is what I have on my plate that's going to be full of turkey coming up in on the morrow. Screen.
Nice. Well, on that note, it's time for us to saddle up on our majestic bird-like steeds and gallop swiftly out of Hellworld. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, if you would like to support the show, you can do so for free by telling a friend or giving us a 5-star review, a thumbs up, a like, a star, or just a happy smile out in public when we cross each other on the street, just like a knowing glance and a little grin. But, you know, if you have money, That's an even better way to do it. I mean, I'm just gonna say it. We love all of you equally, except for the ones with the money, who we like slightly more because they're giving us their money, and who wouldn't? And if you'd like to join their numbers, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/pokerpolitics. Anybody who subscribes and gives us $5 of their hard-earned dollars per month or above gets access to a suite of bonus content that we're happy to provide for you, including series such as Cabalin, The Foulest Deed, and what did we settle on for a name? Sarge's Conspiracy Book Report?
Yeah, our voiceover guy gave me a title, and that's what we went with. So this is Sarge's Conspiracy Book Report. No new episode this week because Chapter 2 of Dark Moon it sucks. They interviewed the engineer from Hasselblad who designed the camera that they used on the moon, and they don't believe anything he tells them, so they're assholes. And Chapter 3 is about radiation and is taking a lot longer to research than the previous chapters because I'm not a scientist and I don't know about radiation. But more is coming.
I was reading something. I forget exactly. It was about the Kennedy assassination. I was reading something about it, and they brought up a Hasselblad camera, which I had never heard of before until our previous show. And then that camera type came back into my life again. And I was like, how did this camera escape me for 50 years? This is crazy. And now I'll go away.
No, it's going to be like the arrow in the FedEx logo. You're just going to see Hasselblad all over the place. It's like a Tootsie Roll commercial. Anyway, so yeah, you can get access to that, those and many other special bonus shows by donating at, once again, patreon.com/pokerpolitics. And you will get a well-deserved shout-out, like the following people who have already started supporting us as of the recording of this show. So big shout-out thank you to our $2 Beautifuler Baby, I'm not scrolled over all the way, Som K, our $5 beautiful baby, ooh la la, somebody wants bonus content, Stuart T, and our $7 beautifuler baby, like that's a tier I didn't even know existed. That's like the platform 9 3/4 of donating to our Patreon. Anyway, thank you, big shout out to Scooter the Corgi, who is also now entitled to wonderful bonus content. However, despite all of this appealing for your money, we did so at the beginning of the program. We want to get up to 69, nice, etc. We did so at the end of the program. We understand that you might have money and you just don't want to give it to jerks like us. We get that. If you'd like to do some good with that money, you can donate it to love146.org. They are an organization whose vision is the end of child trafficking and exploitation, and that is in their own words. As always, I'd like to thank DJ Minimal Effort for providing our intro music. Frosty, who can be found at FrostyVO. That is our voice artist friend who is responsible for our content warning and our bumps and is the voice of Q when we need it. And this is where I tell you about our spinoff podcast, Binge Wordy. starring myself and Sarge, where we discuss pop media. We've been doing a lot of movies recently, but we're thinking about getting back into the television show swing of things for a little while. We're going to be discussing at least the first two episodes of The Wheel of Time in our most recent episode that we will be recording this weekend. So if you'd like to find us and listen to more of our sweet, sweet content that's free, you can do so by listening to Bingewordy, B-I-N-G-E-W-O-R-D-Y, and we can be found on Twitter at Bingewordy, spelled the same way. So for another successful with a big question mark episode of the Adventures in Hellworld podcast, I have been your host, Hellworld L, joined by my sultry and incredible co-host, Hellworld Sarge. I'm thankful for you, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving. And we couldn't do it without the help of our beautiful super baby, the big-brained baby who knows all the stuff about all the Q nonsense, Mr. Mike Rains. Happy Thanksgiving, bud. I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
And,
thank you.
They're not used to saying anything during my outro, so I threw them suddenly and it confused their tender brains. Anyway, that's going to be our show for this week. Thank you once again for listening. And as always, Godspeed, Patriots.